Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I hope you saw the latest on the MLB proposal, which apparently is going to come down to a fight between the MLB Players Union and the owners, because Players Union wants all its money. They'd already agreed to have prorated, but now they're talking about, well, how about a split of the revenue? And the players are like, hey, screw that.
I got to be honest. That's a bad look for the Major League Baseball players. In this time when, I mean, everybody's taking pay cuts, that's just kind of the deal.
Jacob says, what are the odds MLB uses scab players if they can't come to an agreement with MLBPA? I don't think that's going to happen because, I mean, the minor leagues, you really don't have right now. And you'd have to get those guys ready. I think they'll either come to an agreement or they won't have a season. And here's kind of the dirty little secret. I think there's some sports owners that would rather not have a season than have one without fans.
I think so, too. Because then they wouldn't have to pay anything.
No.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. It's all available on podcastarena.com, or will be shortly. And still another hour to go. Again, just flying by. St. Patrick said, oh, come on, Fred, you're not going to watch the new Top Gun? So we're just talking about these remakes. No, I got no interest in that. What made the original Top Gun great was that it was a metaphor for homosexuality. I don't think you can go back and do that again. So,
we all get it now.
Thanks to Quentin Tarantino. I can't even remember the name of the movie he was in where he broke it all down. But it's like one of the great cameos in a movie where he's basically at a party explaining the whole thing about Top Gun. And by the time he's done, you're like, holy bleep, how did I miss all that? And then when you go back and watch it, it's like he nailed it. Hey, one of the things, you know, we talked about, you might lose some teams in some of these leagues. I think the other thing you're going to start seeing is what happened to a school in Florida today. Florida Tech, which is a Division II program, is basically eliminating its football program because of the economic uncertainty. I think you're going to see a lot more of that, especially at those levels.
Yeah, but at the major levels, it doesn't make sense because the football program is usually very profitable.
Well, I think Power 5, maybe Mountain West and AAC. But I don't know how profitable these Sun Belt schools are. I don't know how profitable that some of the Conference USA schools are. I think you could see some contraction there in terms of football programs because that's a significant investment for a lot of those teams.
Yeah,
and they don't all
so.
Get million-dollar paydays to go play Wisconsin or LSU.
No, you're right.
So I'll be interested to see what happens.
Oh, excuse me.
6:05. Wow, that's pretty late in the game for you.
I was holding out.
Meanwhile, speaking of professional broadcasting, I just had a dog come and jump on my lap and refuses to leave.
Oh, geez.
So, it's one of the things that doesn't happen.
Some pro you are.
Cats and dogs today. That's the whole theme of the thing. All right, hang on a second. I got to get rid of this thing. Get off. Jeez. She's a 50-pound dog, and she thinks she's a puppy still. Just doesn't work that way. One other story that I kind of wanted to get to here before we get too far along is Yardbarker did their under the radar college football teams to watch in 2020, and again, this is assuming a season, which none of us think is really going to happen, at least in full form. But I'm going to throw these out there, and you tell me how many of these teams are actually under the radar.
Okay.
The Washington Huskies.
No.
That's a hard no, right?
Yeah.
The North Carolina Tar Heels.
I mean, they're kind of an under-the-radar program, but it's not like no one's realized that Mac Brown's number one in recruiting, things like that. That's not shocking people.
I mean, would anybody be shocked if they'd be the second-best team in the ACC this year?
No.
I don't think that qualifies either. Here's another one. The Boise State Broncos.
No.
Number two on the list, the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, that's a low-profile program.
Yeah, and then number one on the list, the Oregon Ducks.
Oh, yes, they're sneaky. Yeah, they actually just started that football program.
I saw that, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's going to give me, like, Iowa State or something like that, right? That's that would be entertaining. But you basically gave me five programs that everybody's heard of, every single one of them. The only one that I think is even close is North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. I could count that one.
And here's the first sentence of this thing. Every year there are a handful of teams who shock the college football world. In 2019, it was the LSU Tigers, which came out of nowhere to win the national championship. They were top five preseason.
Yeah.
How was that out of nowhere?
It's out of nowhere that they were, you know, one of the best football teams ever.
Yeah.
But it's not out of nowhere that they were good.
I mean, yeah, this is, I think this must be intern writing.
They're in a pandemic, man. They had to let go of some upper tier talent, and they're just having random dudes write.
Well, here's your second paragraph. In 2018, it was the Utah State Aggies, which were led by a barely known quarterback named Jordan Love. The Aggies finished 11-2 and would end their season with a dominating win over North Texas in the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah, and that's actually just like the Oregon Ducks. It's basically Utah State and Texas have so much in common.
I'm just like, really? Really? I know people are desperate for content. Believe me, and now that I'm writing two columns a week, it's a lot harder to come up with ideas. But I'm pretty sure you will never see me write that and have those five teams.
Yeah.
Just going to go on record as saying that. And somebody was asking, what's the Barstool story here, and it's on PFT Commenter's blog. He's really talking about Norman Chad, but he makes fun of me too without knowing me, which is kind of fun. So, hey, I'm all about that publicity, man. He didn't think I was a real person. I actually had to tweet at him and tell him I was real. But yeah, that's life, as they say.
Yep.
Apparently, Adam Silver is. And the guys are polling players to see if they want to come back and try to finish the season. If I'm guessing, I bet you LeBron wants to come back. I bet you the Bucks want to come back. And after that, I bet you're going to get a lot of split decisions.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. I think the NBA is probably the least likely sport to come back because of this, because they've got such a strong players association. I don't really see them getting there with this.
Yeah, I've said all along, I think NBA and NHL are done, and they need to focus on trying to come back for next year. There's just I think logistically it's a real problem for the NHL because there's so many teams in Canada, and some of the restrictions up there are different than they are here. And the NBA, I don't see it. I don't know how they could get it done. Although, breaking news, sports will be allowed in Arizona again in 3 days.
All right.
Just tweeted that out. Now, I assume that's without fans. So Florida's allowing it, and now Arizona. So, I mean, there is a way if you wanted to limit yourself to those states, and maybe that's what baseball has to do. They put one group over in Florida and one group in Arizona. And do it that way. But, you know, it would be, I think it's going to be an interesting couple of months in terms of what sports we get. And so it looks like you'll have MLS in one place. And obviously we've got Bundesliga and NASCAR. I think baseball will be the next one if they can come to an agreement. But those guys are always at each other's throats over money.
Yeah.
And boy, now, and we were talking about that in the first hour, and you heard it in the recap, but I think now is not the time to be, you know, publicly fighting over money if you're a sport. Because
Everybody's hurting for money. So nobody wants to hear millionaires talking about, oh, I don't know, man, 50% of the pot sounds like not enough. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, and
especially for if this were baseball in 1992, when baseball was still – it wasn't quite football, but it was pretty close. I mean, it's as close as it's ever been, it felt like, well, in my lifetime. I'm sure back in your days, with your days of the whirling dervishes, baseball was huge. But, you know, when you watch it on the radio, but it seems like baseball is not really in a position right now to say, we don't care if we lose a few fans over this. I don't think baseball can handle that.
Well, back in my day when Babe Ruth was hitting home runs, baseball was everything. You know, baseball, horse racing, and boxing. It was the greatest thing. And
you know who was a great one? The Mick. That's who I loved watching the Mick play. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You'd go out there drunk, and he'd still make the catch.
Ah, but he was no Joe DiMaggio. I think DiMaggio was a much better player than the Mick. And I know that's not a popular opinion in New York, but it's the truth. God, I think I was born in the wrong time, because I would have been a pretty good 20s announcer. But, yeah, I think there's going to be, and I've been saying this from the beginning, man, people aren't going to have the same kind of money to go and spend on this stuff. And boy, if these leagues are short-sighted, there's going to be long-term damage, man. I really believe that. All right, I think it's time for break. Sorry, I've been fending off a dog the entire segment.
Be a pro, but, Fred.
Well, I kicked her out, and she's figured out. Well, this is embarrassing. I had to put childproof locks on the door so she wouldn't come in, and she figured out the childproof lock.
Oh, no.
I know. So, I mean, it's fun having a smart dog, but it's a pain in the ass as well. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. Can I talk about something that Jason Braddock and Patrick Creighton were talking about last night?
Yeah. I didn't hear it, but I'll be glad to talk about it.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Cast us aside.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
For the block, boy. Take it rough.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right. Well, I don't know if Fred's there or not. He might be still dealing with his dog. That's all right.
Oh, can you? I'm here. I just forgot to take the mute off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Just earlier today, I was talking about how, you know, things are professional, and you know, we've been getting through things just fine. Now look at you.
Well, on the break, she started barking, and I had to take her upstairs, so I muted it so Tyler wouldn't have to hear the dog barking.
Gotcha.
And just forgot to unmute when I came back. Was saying, I don't know if you had a chance to see that video of the skinny guy and the bald guy fighting in the street.
Yes. I love the exact, like, you can see the moment where, like, when the guy does he switches stance and he does the wheel kick.
Yeah.
And the shirtless guy realizes, oh man, I may be in over my head here. Because let's face it, Tyler, you've seen the video too, I assume?
Yeah.
It's when you guys saw awesome. The video, before the first strike was thrown, what were the odds in your mind? Shirtless guy had to be like a minus 180, minus 200 favorite, right?
Yeah, anybody.
Oh, I would have said minus 300.
You think I was wearing like skinny jeans and Converse. I mean, he was you were sure that tall, skinny guy was going to get his ass beat.
So if the video had shown the guy taking off his shirt, I would have given him the fight then and there. But the fact that he's shirtless before the video starts that kind of gave me a little pause as to whether or not he was still going to win.
See, I wasn't even really considering, because the guy's a little doughy, let's face it. He doesn't look great with his shirt off. I wasn't even considering what he looked like. I was considering what the tall, skinny guy looked like, and I was like, oh, he's in trouble. Like, now, the guy with no shirt, there were definitely some warning signs that said this guy's probably going to get his ass kicked. I think he had a chain on his wallet. I mean, when's the last time you saw a guy with a chain on his wallet win a fight? Doesn't happen very often.
I've never seen it.
But when that dude switched stances and throws that wheel kick that backed him up against the car, he was like, oh, my God, I don't want to be in this fight right now. I could see it in his eyes. And then the guy, I mean, so at the end when he kicks the guy in the ribs, like, it looked like he was going to have mercy. And then he was like, nope, no mercy. And boom, he hits him with the rib shot. Now, he did kick him with his foot. Had he gone shin to rib right there, he would have collapsed that guy 100%. Because you can tell that guy's got some training. That's not just some random dude. Like, he's – now, I don't know if his train – it could be, you know, karate. I don't know what it was. But it's probably some hooey-fooey stuff that he did when he was 9. But – it was enough to beat up that dude, and that was so great.
Well, yeah, that was the best part. The guy basically throws his hands up to quit.
And he throws his hand. I just watched it again. He throws his hands up, and then the guy, like, he almost kicked him, and then he backed off. It was like he was kind of like gauging where his foot was going to go, and then he kicked him again.
I thought he was just going to let him go. And then he was like, nope. Boom.
But the funniest part about this whole thing is it got Jeff Goldblum trending on Twitter because people are saying that the tall, skinny guy looked like why is Jeff Goldblum beating this man's in the street?
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like,
isn't Jeff
really
Goldblum dead?
No.
Okay. It's the other Jeff that's dead. What was the other Jeff? The guy from Independence Day.
That was Jeff Goldblum too.
Yeah, was he the president in Independence Day?
No, that was Bill Pullman.
Oh, yeah, Bill Pullman. He's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting up my I was getting my Independence now, Day characters
Bill,
mixed up.
Bill Paxton, I think, was in that. He's dead.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, Bill Paxton. Bill Pullman is dead.
Yeah. Which odd Bill Paxton story? I was watching a documentary on the Kennedy's last day. And Bill Paxton was the narrator, and he, as a kid, he was actually there to see him in Fort Worth before he got shot, which there's a picture of him in the crowd. So
yeah,
this is the kind of random useless knowledge that I have about stuff. Oh, but somebody asking where the fight can be seen. It's all over Twitter, but I couldn't see the face enough to see if he looked like Jeff Goldblum.
I couldn't either.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the internet, just kind of.
Yeah,
making
I
that
guarantee
connection.
If you just go to YouTube, Jeff Goldblum fight, you'll probably find it.
Yeah, it's like that. That's what I've searched on Twitter to find it again, and it's like the third one down, third tweet down.
Well, I wanted to get to this because I heard Patrick and Jason talking last night because I had to run to the bank to deposit a check, and so I've got a chance to listen to him for a little bit. I don't get a chance to listen as much anymore, obviously, in the Ronaverse. But Jason went through and came up with how they could clear $60 million off the cap in 2021.
The Texans?
And a lot of them were, yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of them were guys we've talked about, like, you know, Zach Fulton, $7 million. Brandon Cooks, you can, I think, is $8 million, and J.J. Watt will be $16 million. It basically came up with six players that you could cut and have $6 million in dead cap and get $60 million. There was only one flaw. One of the guys he mentioned. He said you could cut Nick Martin next year and save $8 million. The problem with that is Nick Martin is a O'Brien pet. Never happening.
That's his boy, yeah.
So you could still get $52 million off. The other guys all made sense. And Will Fuller will be off the books next year. He said, I think he mentioned Brandon Cooks. He mentioned Fulton. Bernardrick McKinney, I believe, was one of them. But yeah, you could clear a bunch of cap room and reset next year, but they ain't getting rid of Nick Martin. Nick Martin's got naked pictures of somebody. The interesting thing is I was kind of researching cap stuff for my Watson column for Thursday.
Uh-huh.
You know who's going to make more money than Deshaun this season?
Give it to me. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, and this is something we've said on the show. My premise is maybe I wait till the end of this year to see what the cap situation is going to be like. Because you still have him next year at 15 mil. You can always extend him then. But, you know, I'm guessing they're going to get it done sooner and overpay, and that's fine. But, you know, it might put you in a bad position if you get into 2021 and there's a $30 million cap hit. Now, said the way Jason made it sound, they could get rid of a lot of people. Somebody says, how much would they save cutting O'Brien? Guys,
that ain't happening.
It's not happening. O'Brien's not going anywhere. They're not going to bring in another GM. This is what you have. So embrace the butt chin. That's all you can do.
Yep.
Because he's not going anywhere. And but yeah, he did a really good breakdown, and Jason really knows his stuff. But yeah, Nick Martin, I could see almost zero chance that they cut that guy. And because the rest of us might look at that and go, yeah, that doesn't make a ton of sense. But for some reason, Bill O'Brien looks at that and, oh, that's my guy. So,
wow. I wouldn't expect it to happen, like you said. Yeah, there's teacher's pets, and he certainly falls into that category.
Yeah, and that was my one frustration with Kubiak, is he had a bunch of pets, too, that just couldn't play, and he didn't care. And now we're seeing the same thing with O'Brien. He's just got his guys that it doesn't matter. He thinks they're good. Maybe they're good practice players. I guess that's what it is. But they're not going anywhere. And, you know, I think some of the guys they paid, like Whitney Merciless, my goodness. What are you paying him that much for?
It's crazy. I don't know why. Like, when does that idea even cross into your head?
I mean, I could see extending the guy and giving him a new deal. But for that, I mean, you're paying him like he's one of the best in the league. He's a solid player, but he's not special.
No.
But anyway, and those guys do a really good show. If you get a chance to listen, I think it's Soccer Matters tonight, which should be interesting with the Bundesliga starting back up. I'm sure Glenn.
Yeah, and we'll have Glenn on Thursday to talk about that.
Awesome, awesome. I want to ask him about this MLS setup too, what he thinks of that. But yeah, that's a good show, Late Hits. It's on 7 o'clock right after us most nights of the week. And if you get a chance, check those guys out. I like them both a lot. They're both really sharp and very sportsy.
All right,
let's take a quick break. We only got two segments left, man.
It's flying by, man. And I got to tell you about CBDMD, CBDMD.com. I have been telling you guys about CBD long before I knew about CBDMD. And I got to tell you, now I'm even more hooked on CBDMD, because these guys are making such high quality products, safe, pure, effective products, THC free. So you never have to worry about failing a drug test, anything like that. But if you're feeling aches, you're feeling pains, you have anxiety, you have headaches, there's so many things that CBD can help you with. And go to CBDMD.com. They'll talk you through the whole process. They'll talk about how things can help you out before, during, after a purchase to help you make an informed question or an informed decision. So any questions you've got, they will answer for you. They want you to have the natural support you need to feel your best. And CBD does it, man. It does it for me. I've used the CBD Freeze. I use that regularly every time I work out, damn near, just because it takes away the little aches and pains that I've got as an older dude now trying to get my workouts in. CBDMD.com. Use promo code ESPN975 at checkout, and you'll save 20% on your purchase. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 to save 20%.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN975 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And 281 says, Fred, have you checked the Super Doppler? Rain is coming in. I haven't yet, but I've been seeing it on the NWS Twitter feed that looks like we're about to get nuked. You probably first, AJ.
Probably.
Yeah, because it's
I'll let you know how it goes. Direction. I'll let you know if I die.
Well, yeah, my plan was to go out and grab something to eat and bring it home, but if it's going to storm again, probably going to have to pass. Tyler says, chain on wallet guy to win a fight. My uncle in 1981 is the last time I saw that guy win a fight. It's been a while for that type of guy. Yeah, I would say the 70s was the heyday for chain on the wallet guy.
I don't know. The like Limp Bizkit concert goer with JNCOs. That was the late 90s, there was chain on wallet guy had a resurgence. But he was getting his ass kicked into, probably.
Yeah, but he wasn't winning fights. I would say in the 70s, they were still winning fights.
Yeah.
But.
Sorry, chain on wallet guy, if you're listening.
Also, like, you can't even wear, usually, like, I go to a lot of metal concerts, and there used to be a lot of chain on wallet guys, but now they don't even let you bring
the
chain.
It's not allowed.
Yeah. So, it's going bye-bye.
Yeah, chain on wallet guy had his day. It is not this day. Brian says, curious if anyone knows when the DMV is going to open up again. I've been needing to renew my license since March, and I have to take a new picture, so I can't go online. I haven't heard anything about that, but I'm sure it's going to be soon as we roll stuff out. Man, I got excited for a minute because I saw that they did entries for Santa Anita on Friday, and the plan was to do that all along because that was the day that the stay-at-home order was supposed to go away in L.A. County. I'm guessing I'm not going to get a 9-race card at Santa Anita on Friday.
No.
After this. They said, we remain optimistic, and the public health director said the order was going to be extended, and they say that they've done all the things they can do to prevent the spread of coronavirus. But I'm guessing that's not going to happen, which is too bad because I need some Santa Anita in my life right now, now that Oakland's gone. I'm still messing around with some of these Will Rogers Downs and Remington Park, but I want some real quality racing. So
yeah.
The mod says, hypothetically, let's say the Pac-12 is doomed for 2020. Could that raise the profiles of the ACC or some other mid-level conference?
I mean, I don't think Pac-12 is like the most – I mean, it's barely Power 5.
I think there have been – I mean, certainly not depth-wise, but, hell, the AAC has been almost as good as the Pac-12 for a couple of years now. And, yeah, I think it would be really bad for that conference. The ACC, I mean, because of Clemson, I mean, the rest of the teams can be garbage, but when you've got a Clemson there, you have a pretty high profile. Plus, they play Notre Dame. I still think they're third behind the SEC and Big Ten overall. They're probably the third best conference, and Big 12 has more depth, but they don't have a Clemson. I guess you could say Oklahoma, but you know, Oklahoma doesn't ever win. They get there, and boy, last year last couple times they proved they haven't quite belonged
exactly
with those teams, and it just depends on how you define the best conference. To me, it's not 1 through 12 or 1 through 14 or whatever. It's, you know, how many realistic national title contenders do you have? And how many guys do you send the NFL? That's the criteria I tend to use. And you could argue the Big 12 had, well, no, you can't because Oklahoma didn't have a chance, so Baylor wouldn't have had a chance either. But they were certainly playoff contenders. So if you use that standard, then okay. But I don't know that, you know, I think the more interesting thing, and I'm going to, if we do see teams start to fold and schools backing off of football, is that going to happen And if it's going to happen in a Power 5 conference, I bet it would be the Pac-12. I don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, I could see one or two schools saying, hey, you know what? We can't afford this.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if there's any schools in the Pac-12 that'll get to where they can't afford it. Like, you think USC is ever going to walk away from football?
No, USC won't, but I do think that Cal, for instance, I mean, you might – I think you're going to see this maybe not at the Power 5 level, but if there's a weak Power 5 right now, it's the Pac-12.
And, yeah.
And other than Texas and OU, the Big 12's got some schools on shaky ground too. And there's no question. If this is, you know, if the numbers go down the way people are talking about. And, yeah, so he's asking about the AAC. I think the AAC could certainly benefit. They need another run from a UCF-type team. But it'll be interesting to see the landscape if you take one major conference away, just what difference that makes. So, and maybe they don't, maybe it's not the whole conference. Maybe you just have to play with 8 teams for a year or 6 teams even and just play two conference games.
And then do the teams that don't play, I mean, do they not get a portion of the money? I mean, I don't know how they would do it.
Yeah, I would guess they'd still have to share with everybody, but at least you're fulfilling your TV contracts, right?
Yeah.
If you provide enough games for the TV. But, yeah, I think it's a really weird landscape, and I think it'll go from bottom up first. Like, I think you'll see, like, Sun Belt teams say, hey, you know what? We can't do this. We can't afford it. And then, you know, then maybe Conference USA. I think there's a lot of FCS and stuff like that that will happen first. And I also think it's one of those, if they go a whole season, then you might start seeing that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen right away, but you know, we still don't know where this thing is going. And we don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, the worst thing in the world is we start opening stuff up. They start playing games again without fans. And all of a sudden you have another big outbreak.
Yeah. That'd be the worst case scenario, and that's what I've been saying all along. There's got to be a balance though between opening up too soon and opening up like saying no one can leave the house for 3 months. You know, I don't want anyone to be. I don't want Houston to be L.A. Certainly,
no.
I also don't want Houston to be Georgia. Did you see what Georgia's doing?
Well, they pretty much let everybody out, right?
Yeah, they said May 31st, they're opening up bars, clubs, sporting events, concerts, everything's a full go.
Yeah, see, I think that's too much. And somewhere in between.
That's what I'm
LA
saying. There's got to be a balance.
Georgia, yeah, is where we should be. And frankly, and we talk sports because it's a sports station and a sports show. Sports should not be the priority right now. It really shouldn't. Yeah, would we love it? Sure. Love having stuff to bet on. But I think the first priority is, yeah, let's get back into restaurants and things like that with these social distancing regulations and then move on to the bars. I mean, to me, clubs are – and I have friends who are club owners, but clubs should be pretty far down the list because that's a lot of people in close proximity no matter what. I mean, you're going to really dance 6 feet away from each other? You know, sports should be down that list a little
bit.
As much as I'd love to see it, and I love seeing whatever's out there, you know, concerts too. I'm sorry. Love me some concerts. Love seeing live music. But those are things that should come last. And crowds at sporting events should come last. If we can get sports without crowds, great.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we should be in any big hurry to do that, AJ. I really don't. Yeah, and it's funny because I thought about that Dr. Katz guy who I'm now seeing on Fox and Bill Maher, and his whole thing is, you know, that we have to find a medium to this. We can't keep everybody locked up, but we can't do what Sweden's doing and just jump in the shark-filled waters. You've got to find a balance, and I think a lot of states are doing that, and I think Texas for its, you know, for all my complaints about our government in this state. I think we're going at the right pace, and you know, at least a compromise pace, and I'm okay with that. And the cool thing is that if you don't want to go back, you don't have to. I mean, and if you do, great. But hopefully, it'll happen in a way that keeps us from having this whole thing happen again. Because I don't think there's a lot of businesses that would survive a second wave of, okay, you guys can't work. It just, I just think it would be disastrous. All right. Let's take a quick break. We've only got one segment left. How about that?
Time flies.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, okay, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance, guys. Listen, you're looking for a way to save some money during these times. TGS Insurance, if you own your home, they've got a great thing for you, man. And it's so simple, so fast. I did it, and I saved real money, man. I saved over $1,000 a year. You could do that, too. Guys, they've got a system. It takes 15 seconds. 15 seconds is all it takes, and all you need is your address. Grab your phone right now. Text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. You reply back, you'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And this company, the savings, they are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, nearly 800 reviews, and the average customer saved nearly $900 a year. And you don't need to wait for your renewal. They're going to take care of the back end. They're going to help you get your money right away from your previous policy. TGS Insurance is open now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today with TGS Insurance.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And just a quick look at the Super Doppler. Yeah, it looks like there's a nice line of rain coming, but it looks like it's going to hit you, and then it'll probably die out before it hits me. So, all right. It's a Tuesday, so let's do a little Hey Man Bleep That. I will I'll be happy to start. I've been spending a lot more time, like, taking the dogs out just to get outside, get for a walk. And, like, I take the little one in the back and throw her the ball when nobody's there. And I'll leave her leash on, but I let her run around. But whenever I'm out on the sidewalks, dogs are always on a leash, which is the law, by the way. And, man, I've noticed a lot of people around here letting their dogs off the leash. And there's this one that they never have the dog on the leash, and it's a really aggressive dog that's come after mine a couple times. Fortunately, I was able to get him inside the gate before anything could happen. But this is like three times now. So, moral question, if that dog comes after my dogs again, am I allowed to pepper spray it? Because, you know, I always carry pepper spray just because there's loose dogs and stuff, and I don't want them messing with mine. And, you know, am I wrong to do that if the dog attacks my dogs?
No. If it attacks your dog, yes. If it's like, because some dogs just play aggressively. Like, if it's trying to hurt your dog, though, of course.
No, this one has actually gone after both of them. And it's not going to end well for her if Derby ever gets a hold of her. Because, you know, Derby, even old, is, if you provoke her, she's really vicious. But it's real simple, guys. The laws have your damn dog on a leash. And nobody's dog is that well-trained. I'm sorry. So if you're walking around with your dog off the leash and something happens to it, that's on you. To that I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
One thing that I've noticed is in America in 2020, it's very difficult to be white. I mean, it's really tough. And they found out in St. Louis, the assistant police chief has now sued the city, saying he was passed over for the chief's job because he was white. I don't know if you felt this this crunch in recent history, Fred, but, I mean, I certainly have. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to be white these days. I mean, we're always getting passed over for jobs. It's just it's a damn shame. We've got it so hard.
Yeah, it is tough out there, AJ. The struggle is real.
I actually have a secondary Hey Man bleep that, and it goes to the state of New Jersey. They reopened their state parks, but did not reopen bathrooms in the state parks.
Ooh.
So after the first weekend of state parks being open with no bathrooms, what do you think happened?
Everywhere.
They realized that there was inordinate, this is a quote, state park police reported an inordinate amount of urine and feces being left behind in the parks. If you're going to open your state parks, you got to open the bathrooms. And also, if the bathrooms close, we've got to be a society who doesn't just poop in the middle of a park. We've got to get there. I know it seems like a long way off right now, but we've got to work towards that. So to that, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
Well, at least carry a doggy bag with you and throw it away, right? Like you would with a dog?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, Deacon said the step before pepper spray would be mentioning it to the owners. If they ignore it, they get what's coming to them. They've been told 3 times to keep their dogs away from mine.
Well, hard times.
So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. All right, do you have one, Tyler?
I actually do. So, awesome. Of course, we know who Tekashi 6ix9ine is, noted rat and snitch. He apparently, last week, or I guess it was last week, he released some single, and it reportedly made $2 million in under a week. So he's in quarantine, and he's trying to clean up his image, I guess, and he donated $200,000 to No Kid Hungry. And apparently, they don't want money because they denied his donation, saying that it is our policy to, as a child-focused campaign, it is our policy to decline funding from donors whose activities do not align with our mission and values. And I kind of think that's pretty dumb because if you're trying to feed kids and trying to make sure that no kid goes hungry, you should probably take $200,000. So to that, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
That didn't sound like you, Tyler.
It's usually not often that I'm going to agree with Tekashi 6ix9ine, but I feel like he was at least trying to do a good thing, and I think No Kid Hungry is stupid for denying that money.
All right. I'm with you.
I'm kind of with you. I would take money from Hitler if I did it. No, I mean, if it does a good thing, who cares where it comes from?
Exactly.
But, my other one was going to be, I don't know if you saw this, but your girl, Kristen Cavallari.
Yeah.
Was
Kristen
asked for
Cutler
advice. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no longer Kristen Cutler, but she had a newly engaged woman asked her for advice about being newlyweds in marriage. And she said, don't do it. The last person you ever ask for marriage advice is somebody who's going through a divorce. They're not going to, I mean, all they're going to say is don't do it. If they're going through a divorce or they've been married for, say, I don't know, 10 plus years, and you ask them for advice, you're not going to get good advice. So, Kristen, quit giving out advice. I mean, I think we've all established that you're an incredibly crazy bitch. And, you know, maybe you should just not tell people how to be married.
Well, all right, that's, I feel like that's a job for you, Fred.
Well, I can tell people what not to do. And I can tell people how to get through a divorce. But I'm not going to give them advice on whether or not they should get married. I'm the wrong guy to ask for that. All right. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Tyler. Always a pleasure. And I hung in there today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.